Well, let us, thank you for that, Sasha. Let us stand and let us open in prayer. Darren, would you lead us in an opening prayer this morning, please? Okay, if everyone would turn in their Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. We're going to do some scripture memorization today. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Let us read together. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Okay, let's read it together. Everyone together. We're going to say it a couple times today, and by the end of today, I hope everyone has memorized it. Let's say it together. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Okay, so first of all, today we're going to look at five things. The first one, in the faith. The second one, stand fast. The third one, quit you like men. The fourth one, watch ye. And the last one, be strong. Okay, so the first one, in the faith. It says, stand fast in the faith. In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, please note, prove means to test. It means to examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Because if we're going to stand fast somewhere, we need to stand fast in the right place. Are you in the faith? What is the basis for you believing that you are in the faith? Do you believe in God? Do you? Well, in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. That's maybe not such a good thing, to just believe in God. Well, were you baptized, christened, consecrated, or circumcised as a baby? Galatians 6:15 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. If, as a baby, you were sprinkled with water, or your parents took you up to the front of the church and consecrated you before the congregation, these are good things. And I don't mean to downplay that. But it's not a new creature. And some of us have done some of these things. Okay, the next question then. Do you go to church? Well, I'd like to quote Keith Green now instead of quoting the Holy Bible, and this is a man, but Keith Green said this famous quote. He said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Okay? So is going to church the basis of your Christianity? Oh, I'm a Christian because I go to church on Sundays. No. Again. Well, do you live in a Christian nation? Perhaps you live in Australia, and we have Christian laws, and we consider ourselves a Christian nation. I remember my father-in-law frequently told the story about his stepmother. And with a glass of whiskey in one hand and a cigarette in the other, she said, well, we're all, swear word, Christians, aren't we? No. Living in a Christian nation doesn't make us a Christian. What about being brought up in a Christian family? Were your parents Christians? Well, surely if I got brought up in a Christian family, that makes me a Christian, right? Well, Ezekiel 18, verses 2 to 4 says, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And you can go on and read in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 19 through to 30. It talks about having a righteous father and an unrighteous son. Well, what happens to the father? Nothing. Well, if a son has an unrighteous father and he is righteous, well, doesn't that mean he's going to be judged because his father is unrighteous? No, it doesn't. And God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so we see from these scriptures here that believing in God, having Christian parents, living in a Christian nation, going to church on Sunday, these things do not avail. In Romans 3:10, it says that there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you might say, well, you know, we had Sasha here talking about communism. I'm not like Stalin over here or Hitler. I haven't done a heap. I'm a pretty good person. You know, I haven't done really bad things. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't. Let me ask you some questions. Who here has ever told a lie? I want a show of hands. Who here has ever told a lie? I'm waiting. All those who don't put their hand up right now are lying. Okay? We have all lied. Don't give me a show of hands on the next one. Who here has ever had a lustful thought? Matthew 5:28 says, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. The next one, have you ever been irritated or angry at someone and called them a fool or worse? Matthew 5:22 says, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So no one here is accused of being Hitler or Stalin, but we are all sinners.
Amen.
All. There is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. So what hope do we have of offsetting this death penalty? To believe that God exists doesn't cut the mustard. To have been baptized or circumcised as a baby doesn't help one bit. Having righteous or unrighteous parents won't affect your standing before God. And living in a nation where the majority is so-called Christian isn't any different than living in a nation that was Hindu or Muslim or Buddhist. Every person will come before God.
Amen.
And what wages will you get? The wages or the reward of sin is death. But, praise God, the gift of God is eternal life. The gift. At Acts 16:30, there was a man who was convicted of this very thing. He was the Philippian jailer. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came back, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you yourselves know, when you've probably been out witnessing, people are very happy to talk about God. Oh yes, I believe there's a God. And God is a very flexible term. It could mean an awful lot of different things. It doesn't say believe on God and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread that came down from heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved. He was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our acquittal. What must we do to be saved? We must believe whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, an atoning victim through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, it's a famous verse, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God knew our condition. God knew we were bankrupt, that we had nothing to offer for our sins. And he sent his Son. And God commends his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that truly beautiful? I mean, I look at that in my flesh. When people do wrong against me and they offend me and things like that, you know, I don't have this springing up love that just wants to make it right with them. I have to really work at that. But God commends his love towards us. When we were dirty and we were filthy and we were ungodly, he sent his son to die for us.
Amen.
Much more then, being now acquitted, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. God loves you, and he has provided a way for you back to him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Turn from your sins. We have all sinned. We have all lied, lusted, coveted, hated, etc., etc., etc. But God loves you and wants you to be at one with him. He is waiting and will forgive you for Jesus' sake. Hebrews 9, 27, 28 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Are you looking for salvation for your sin problem? Look to Jesus. Wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Okay, let us repeat again. Like I said, we're going to say this over and over until we get it all. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Everyone, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. I'm going to test you afterwards. Okay, the second point, stand fast. I once read this story in a Reader's Digest, It was one of those humorous stories in Life's Like That. And it was about a husband and a wife travelling in Britain, and she was navigating. She had the road map on her lap, and I've been travelling places with my wife, and if this wife was anything like my wife, she was probably turning the map around as we went around corners to help her out. And anyway, after a period of time, the wife finally acknowledged defeat and said, "I think we're lost." And the husband replied and said, "Yes, but aren't we making great time?" And so too it can be with us. We can be making good time. We can be having a clear lane and there's no traffic lights, but we're going the wrong direction. Okay? So we need to be in the faith. When it says stand fast in the faith, don't stand fast on the sands of the world. Stand fast on the rock of Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are traveling in the right direction. So, stand fast. This is a word which means to be stationary with force. Okay? It means to persevere. And it means to have an active, persevering stationariness. Okay? There's another word that means stand, and that's another word. But this word is stand with force. Okay? Stand fast. Be like a rock or a big chunk of concrete cut into the granite. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Wouldn't it have been great getting this letter and having heard Paul? And when you read that, you go, "Oh yeah, that's right. I remember what Paul told us when he visited last time." We only have his epistle. We don't have by word or epistle. We just have by epistle. Okay? And that word there, stand fast and hold, again, is to use strength, to seize or retain, to hang on to it, hold by, hang, keep, lay hold, obtain, retain, take by. Okay? So we need to stand fast in the faith. It means to hold the traditions and ordinances of God. It means a walk of holiness. Remember the verse that I quoted before in James? James chapter 2, verses 17 to 20 says, "Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" The Christian that has no boot leather to his belief is empty, is vain, is what the Bible says. Now, it is a popular understanding that faith, our belief, and our works, or our boot leather, are not compatible. It's like oil and water. The twain shall never meet. And people like to quote Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. "By grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen. And the Catholic Church in the 1500s was in absolute error, thinking that you could pay some money or do some work and obtain salvation by your works. That is wrong. That is 100%. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift. There is nothing that you can do to earn salvation, ever. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Your salvation cannot be earned. But once you step up to that place and receive salvation, what happens then? What happens then? Well, Ephesians 2 says that we are created for good works. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." In verse 4, it said, "Abide in me and I in you." And we like to focus on that, abiding in the vine, sunshine, roses, you know, just taking it easy, absorbing the moisture out the ground, soaking in the sun, abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. This is what we do as Christians. We just abide. "He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Romans 6:22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." So God expects from our vine fruit.
Yeah.
And he actually prunes us. He chastens us. It's not pleasant and it hurts. And we learn from those things so that we bring forth more fruit. Back to standing fast. In Philippians 1:27, "Let your conversation or your actions be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Note, firstly, there is an individual accountability to Christ to stand fast and persevere. And secondly, there is a togetherness, a corporate standing fast together and striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's why we come together today, to read the words of the apostles and to encourage each other, to persevere, to stand fast. And how do we do this? Upon what do we hold to? There is much confusion in the name of Christianity today. Darren was telling me that someone has calculated there's 45,000 denominations in the world today. There is so much confusion out there. Satan has sown many, many tares in the field of wheat. And thinking about the amount of tares we see, it sort of reminds me of my pea patch at the moment. I can see more mustard than I can see peas. And sometimes I wonder whether there's more tares in the field than what there is wheat at the moment. But nevertheless, how do we stand fast? How do we hold to the traditions that we have been taught by word or by epistle? How do we stand fast in the faith? Titus 1 verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Now a gainsayer is someone who contradicts, denies and speaks against. So by sound doctrine, we need to be in the faithful word. And as we heard earlier this morning, the faithful word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the word of God. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Let the faithful word, the Bible, interpret itself. Use the word to interpret the word and hold on to it. Read it. Memorize it. Soak yourself in the word. And lastly, to finish off the section on standing fast, don't stand fast in worldly thought, doctrine, and practice, or culture. Don't stand fast in the wrong thing. Stand fast in the right thing. In Galatians 4 verse 18, it says, it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. So make sure that we stand fast in the right thing. Let's say our scripture memory again. Let's start off with the 1 Corinthians 6:13 this time. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Okay, the next point, I'm not going chronologically through it, you can see that. The next one I'm doing is quit you like men. I love that phrase. We don't use it anymore, and that's why I love that phrase. It's used two other places in the Bible, and it's in 1 Samuel 4, verse 9. And it's talking about the Philistines. Remember when in Prophet Eli's day, the Philistines came and attacked Israel, and the Israelites thought, we'll sort them out. We'll get the Ark of God, and that'll sort them Philistines out. And so the Ark of God came into the camp, and there was a big shout, and the Philistines heard it. And they went, oh no, it's the Ark of God, we're done for. Ye Philistines, quit you like men. Don't become servants to these Israelites, quit you like men. And you know what? They did quit like men. And they whooped the Israelites, captured the Ark of God, and Eli's house was judged. But this is the only time that that phrase is used. And we don't use that phrase anymore in English, but we also don't use things like wist not or holden and other words like that we see in the old King Jim. And the word here, quit you like men, means to act manly. To act manly. Now, for everybody sitting on this side over here, that means being valiant. Okay? Yes, you are feminine. Yes, you are sisters. But in this sense, it still applies to you. We're not talking to one side of the building today. We're talking to sisters and brothers here. And this is to act with, to be manly, like Jesus was manly. Okay? Now, the world is very confused as to what manliness is, isn't it? It is very confused. Often manliness is defined by what we did. So acts of manliness, to jump out of an aeroplane, to ride a bucking animal or something like that. That's manly, right? Or worse, it is often defined by what we have. You know, we're manly because we've got this big truck with big tires on it, or big ute, or you know, big exhaust out the top, or something. Well, manly now. No, that's not manly. Neither of those things make a man manly. True manliness is internal. We have an inner man in Ephesians 3:16. And from this inner man, it will flow out to the outer man, and everyone can see our deeds and our works. To say that our inner man is doing well and is strong and not have it observable on our outer man is not true. And so we have to look to the inner man first, and from that inner man will flow out deeds of manliness. Mm-hmm. Quit you like men, however, means to act manly. So I'm going to be talking about now an outward observable thing. Okay? And so when we talk about an outward observable thing, it is given that there is an inward reality first. Okay, the most manly man that ever lived was the Son of Man, who was also the Son of God, who is our perfect example. All other examples, whether they be bronze-chested, wonderfully muscled, can run, jump, swim, cycle, shoot, drive, or fly, are mere shadows.
Yeah.
An empty shell of true manliness. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord." How could we ever think that anyway? It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. Do you find that intimidating like I do? That we have to aspire to be as Jesus did. When he was reviled, he reviled not. When he was persecuted, he didn't fight back. And when he was dying on the cross and the people that had nailed him there were standing in front of them, he said, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what to do." What manliness, what true manliness that flowed out of his inner man into his outer man. Okay, so when we're talking about true manliness, we're talking about being like Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3 verse 9, it says, "Put off the old man," in Ephesians 4, 24, "that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." There is a putting off and there is a putting on. And to act manly, we have to put on the new man. And this is done daily with our decisions and our actions throughout every day. We either put on or we do not. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." There is a putting on and a putting off, but there is also a reality that a manly man or lady puts away childish things. Once we were a child, we thought as a child, we understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And here we're being exhorted to manliness. In Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us this grace that brings us salvation also teaches us this, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ." And I'm afraid I smile a lot. I laugh maybe a little bit too much. And I find that the exhortations towards soberness, I need to read more. Because I find that life isn't lighthearted, and it's not a joke, and it shouldn't be treated that way. So I have not attained in this area, but I try and put away childish things because now I have become a man. As we mature in Christ, instead of desiring milk as babies do, we desire meat as men. We don't put away the milk, but we just desire meat. Because God has raised us up to be men. It is also with fruit bearing. When you plant new fruit trees, you knock the fruit off for the first 5 years so that the tree can grow. But after that, if you had a fruit tree and you didn't have any fruit on it, you'd be soon digging it up and looking to buy another fruit tree. And so too it is with us. There is a time when we need milk. And there is a time when we don't expect to see fruit. But quit you like men means that eventually you're going to be bearing fruit, desiring meat, and you're going to be putting away childish things. A good man, a manly man, speaks good things. In Matthew 12, 33 to 37, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, a manly man, a quit you like men man, out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." To act manly is to have a pleasant, sanctified vocabulary.
Yeah,
amen. It is not whining, whinging, nagging, complaining. It's not shouting. It's not bossy. It's not bullying. It is certainly not profane. The words of the pure are pleasant words. And so as a manly man, let us have sanctified speech. Quit you like men is also to be wise. In Matthew 7:24, therefore whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Remember that exhortation to stand fast? Remember what I said, cut it into the rock, a nice big chunk of concrete? To persevere with force? So too, a wise man, a manly man, builds his house upon the rock. His deeds are obedient to the teachings of Jesus. He just doesn't believe them, but he believes them and doeth them. Quit you like men is to be perfect. It's a hard word, isn't it? Be ye perfect. A perfect man is in the word, comparing scripture with scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, the word of God. It comes back to the word of God, the bread of life. We need to be in the word, and when we are in the word, in reading Jesus' teaching, we will be a perfect man. In Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And previously, I mentioned, it's interesting, Sasha, you and I were obviously led to make the same note here. I'll just read it out as I wrote it down, and if I've borrowed your thought there, brother, I'm sorry. Previously, I mentioned that there is so much confusion in the world. I want to add a warning here. ... 4 dots, okay? How much time do you spend reading per day? Make sure your time in the Word exceeds all else by a multiple of 10. Doctrinal and theological books and the internet. That's my warning. We need to be people of the Word. And as Sasha pointed out to us, if we're on the internet looking up the latest news and trying to find out what else is happening and what else is happening here and there and everything, yes, there is a place for that. We need to be informed, but we need to be people of the Word. We need to be being moved by the Holy Ghost's inspiration. And I would add the caution about reading theological books. Reading books about the Bible isn't as good as reading the Bible. If you get up in the morning to do your devotional time and you read Every Day with Jesus by Selwyn Hughes or something like that, and you go, oh, I've done my Bible reading this morning. No, you haven't. Maybe you get up and you read My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. Okay, you need to be in the Word. And those things are really good helps, and they are encouraging. And I advise you to by all means, read daily devotionals. And that helps us when sometimes we don't know where to go in the Bible to read. And they are good helps and prompts and props. But it's not the Word. So make sure that you are reading the Word, and you read it much more than you're reading anything else. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 14:20, it says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And I love that verse there, because children are so forgiving, aren't they? When children have a fight, very soon afterwards you see them swinging on the swings again, bouncing on the trampoline again, and they're back to being best buddies again. And we as adults are still hanging on to a grudge from 10 years ago from somebody who took off with my lunchbox when I was on the school bus. You know? And it's not right. It's not right. In malice, we need to copy children, and we need to be quick to forgive and be like children. But in our understanding, we're not to be children. In our understanding, we're to be men. Remember, we're talking, quit you like men, be manly. And you know that word there, men, is the same word as perfect in Matthew 5:48. When it said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect, you could also say, be ye therefore men, even as your Father which in heaven is men. Okay, so that's the word there. It's meaning complete. It's meaning whole. Okay, so in our understanding, be like our Father in heaven. Be complete. Be men. Okay, quit you like men. Our last one for quit you like men is to be manly. Now, manliness is like valor. It's excellence, intrinsic or attributed valor. And in 2 Peter 1, 3-11, it says here, according to his divine power has he given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and manliness. Did you get that? It says glory and virtue. He has called us to glory and virtue. You, if you are a Christian, God has called you to this. It's a call on your life to virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, manliness. And to manliness, virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, which is self-control. And to self-control, patience. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful. Remember, we're trying to be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. There is a chance that you can fall. So do these things, and you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Please note the order. He is purposefully redundant here. He starts with what? Faith. Don't look at this list and go, ah, right, okay, I need to be virtuous, I need to be self-controlled, I need to have knowledge, I need to have patience, I need to be love, okay, how can I do all this? And you haven't put the foundation in there. The foundation can no other man lay, and that is Jesus Christ. When you go to build a building, if you put down the first layer of bricks on the dirt, the house will not stand for very long. Make sure you've got the foundation right, and he says here, giving all diligence, add to your faith this. If you do not have faith today, if you do not know today that Jesus Christ is your Saviour and you are washed from your sins, make that your first place. In 1 Peter 2:9, the last scripture for this category, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises, that's manliness, that you should show forth the manliness of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So as a servant of his Lord, as perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, as a city set on the hill, being holy as he is holy, as being a light on the candlestick. Here he says, you are a peculiar people that you should show forth the manliness of him who has called you out of darkness. We are to show Jesus to this dark and dying world. The world needs to see Jesus in your life. Okay, let's repeat our scripture memory. From the beginning, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Okay, our fourth point is watch ye. 2 days are approaching for everyone, but you will only see one or the other. 2 days are approaching for everyone here. I can't help myself, I have to keep asking riddles. But you will only see one or the other. 2 days. The day when the Lord returns, and the day that you will meet the Lord through death. If you die first, then you don't get to see the day the Lord returns. If, as a Christian, the Lord returns first, you don't get to see the day that you die. But you'll be transformed in an instant. Okay? So you only get to see one of those 2 days, but 2 days are approaching. Both are approaching, I trust, slowly and steadily. And we have signs of their approach. So, for some of us, we have grey hair, wrinkles, aching joints. And it's harder to get out of the bed in the morning. Okay? Old age, it has signs. And we see those signs approaching. Now, for all the children here in this room, trust me, it's going to happen, okay? But the other one is we see the end times approaching. And we might say slowly and steadily. And I think that there is plenty in the news today that has gripped a lot of our attentions. But we see for the first time the whole world acting together on this new virus that's apparently going to take over and give us all a headache. And we see the world acting together and uniformly across all nations in this world. We see the technology to achieve one world government is in place. We see oppression of righteousness increasing across the board in all countries. And we see in Revelation that all the world wondered after the beast and worshipped the dragon which gave power to the beast. And that all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. And that the second beast causes all the earth to worship the first beast. And then finally, and this is in Revelation 13, verse 16, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. And so we see coming forth In our sight, slowly and steadily, just like our own grey hair and wrinkles and aching joints, we see changes. Both, however, might come upon us suddenly. In Revelation 18:19, talking about Babylon the Great, says, "For in 1 hour she is made desolate." In 1 hour. It happened so quickly. And all the merchants stood afar saying, "Oh, woe, woe, woe." In 1 hour she was overthrown. And so too, our end may come suddenly. This afternoon I might be crossing a road and get mown down by a bus. But we trust and that we think that we see these approaching things. Now, what should we do? Well, obviously look both ways when you cross the road. But what should we do? Stop looking at me like that, Hannah. Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And I have a roadside stall, and we suffer a little bit with theft. And if I knew that at 9:52 in the morning I'd have a thief, I'd be out there at 9:51 waiting for them. Okay, and we see that sometimes. We see people come in, and they see us there at the stall, and they drive out. And I mutter to myself, "Yeah, no free potatoes today," you know. And so if we knew what time the thief would come, we would have watched for them. And the Lord Jesus Christ has told us clearly here that he comes at a time when we know not. Therefore, be ready. Yeah. And that watch there, that word, I like that word. I like to, again, confessing my sins here. I like to joke too much. But I ask people where my name is in the Bible. And most people sort of scratch their head and they go, is he thinking about Pope Gregory? What's he talking about? But this word here, watch, is the Greek word Gregorio.
No.
Okay? And so it's special to me because it's my name, sort of, you know. And this word here, watch, is Gregorio. To keep awake, to watch, literally or figuratively, to be vigilant, to be wakeful, watchful, be awake. In Mark 13, 32 to 37, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. That's pretty clear. We are to live our lives watchful and awake. Matthew 25, there's another parable between Matthew 24, 42, 44, and you can go look that up. It's before the 10 virgins, but this one here is the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight was the cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Watch. We are told this repeatedly, time and time again. There is a soberness that should be on our life, a watchfulness, a looking at, yes, the world events, looking at what we see coming. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 6 says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, the times and the seasons here, it's talking about a set or a proper time. The word there is also translated convenient season, due season, in a short time, in a while, due time, a while. And so it's talking about as of the times, as of the Lord's returning. And Paul says here, you know, I don't have anything to tell you about the Lord's second coming, for you know how he comes. And then he quotes the scripture that Jesus gave us. He comes as a thief in the night. But, says Paul, you brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He is going to come back as a thief in the night. He is going to come back as a thief comes in the night, unexpected, when you're not ready. But it's not going to overtake you, brethren, because you are children of the light. Why? Why would the children of the light not have to worry? Why? Because we watch. And he says that. He emphasizes this. Watch. In Revelations 3, 2-3, the letter to the church of Sardis has a very interesting scripture here. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect. And hold fast and repent. If therefore, thy works perfect before God, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, okay, what's he going to say now? If you're not going to watch, if you're not going to be watchful, I will come upon you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, the five foolish virgins, but let us watch and be sober. We can be asleep. There are so many things that can lull us to sleep. Five virgins were invited to the wedding feast and did not make it in because they did not watch. They were not ready for their Lord's return. In Revelation 16:15, Jesus again says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth." I think I've counted 6 times that Jesus has given this message to us. There are some things that he repeats. He says them twice. They're really important. Jesus said them twice to us. If he's said something to you 6 times, then we need to be doing it. Being a virgin and invited to the wedding feast, there with your lamp, with your gown on already, doesn't guarantee you entry. You have to be watching. You have to be ready for your Lord's return. Luke 12:35-40. This is one of my favourite. I had this on the front of my folder for a little while. One of my favourite verses in the Bible. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Manly men, quit ye like men. Be ye yourselves like men that wait for their Lord. When he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. In like manner, in meeting the Lord personally, we know not the day or the hour. And are we ready? When we meet the Lord personally, maybe today. Doesn't matter how young some of you are. We do not know what this day may bring forth. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you know that your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? Are we like men that wait for their Lord? Are we quitting ourselves like men, wise men, perfect men? Are we standing fast in the faith, basing our life on Jesus' teaching? Are we walking in holiness, prayed up, confessed up, ready to serve the Lord today, ready to meet the Lord today? Okay, now the second thing we're also told to watch for. There were 2 watchful things. The first one, and by far the most important, is to watch for the Lord. We need to be ready for the Lord's return. He has told us he will come again. The first coming of the Lord has happened. We have it in the Bible. And the second coming is a future event. It has been prophesied. It will happen. And we need to watch for it. But at the same time, we are told to watch for some other things as well. So when we are commanded to watch ye, I think primarily we are to watch for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Acts 20, verses 28 to 31, Paul was talking to the elders of the church, and he said this to them: "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock that are over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch." There is a watchfulness that we need to make. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7 to 8, and you may not know that this is the word watch, but it says, "Be sober, be vigilant." That's watch. Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. I think that the enemy has learned through history, and I was going to say, you know, in those different scriptures where Jesus said whether Jesus comes back in the first watch or the second watch, I think he's coming back in the last watch. And I think it may well be that we are in the last watch. Okay? And we need to be watchful about that. But we live in confusing times. There are more sects and cults, and apparently we have 45,000 denominations. But in these latter times, I think Satan has changed his tactics. And instead of going about as a roaring lion, as he did historically to the church for the first maybe 1,500 years on the first watch, on the second watch, now he seeks to get the virgins asleep. And he seeks to lull us to sleep on the couch, in front of the television, watching a good movie, to deaden our senses, to dull our spiritual awareness, and to lull us to sleep so that we are not watching for our Lord's return. And so we need to be sober and we need to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour you through sleep and slothfulness and inattention. So give heed to these things. Quit you like men. Be men of the word, using the word to interpret the word, and watch. Again, I say, watch. Our last category, repeat after me, with me, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. The last category is be strong. Now, with everything that's said there, I think we've had enough strength for the morning. Strong man, you need to withstand, you need to stand on the concrete, you need to stand fast with strength. I think we've had a lot of strength this morning. This word here actually is to be strengthened. Okay? And so this is not an exhortation to be strong, but it's to be stronger, to grow, to increase. It's used four times in the New Testament. The first one, obviously, in 1 Corinthians 16. It's in Luke 1:80, talking about John the Baptist. The child grew and waxed strong in the spirit. So he grew in spiritual understanding. It's also used of Jesus in Luke 2:40. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit. And so we see the childhood of Jesus. He's growing up and he's growing in spiritual grace and maturity. And then the last one is in Ephesians 3:16-19, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so we come a full circle, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Are you in the faith? That we would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And that from the inner man would flow out into our outer man, and that we would quit ourselves like men. To be strong is to be strengthened. 2 Peter 3:18 says to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In Colossians 2:19, holding the head, Jesus Christ, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Paul wants us here to grow more and more in the knowledge of Christ. How? By trusting him, by stepping out in faith, by talking to him, by praying, by reading his word. To become stronger in your love towards the brethren and grace to all men. To be strong. So in conclusion, watch ye. Watch ye, looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yearning for the coming of the bridegroom. You know when you have visitors are coming and the children go out and hide in the bushes looking for the first sight of their car? Is that how it is for you and the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you looking forward to your bridegroom coming? He loves you. He wants to be with you. Are you wanting to be with him? Are you anticipating the return of your Saviour? Okay, watch ye. It also means guarding against error amongst ourselves. Let's not be high-minded. We are all men. We need to help each other out. We need to speak into each other's lives. We need to be there for us. And we need to be vigilant and aware of an evil and adversary. An adversary that seeks to deceive and consume and corrupt Christians. That's you and that's me. Stand fast to persevere with strength. Do you ever feel like your hands are hanging down and your knees are weak? Well, stand fast. Persevere. Keep going. You can do it.
Yeah.
And let us encourage one another so much more as we see the day approaching. In the faith. Stand fast in the faith. The place to start. If you haven't started today, please do. The love of God revealed through Jesus Christ to rescue us from sin, to redeem us, to bring us back to his own bosom in love. Today he calls you and he cares for you. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Today Jesus knocks. He is not going to kick the door in. He's not going to put his shoulder against it and give it a shove. He knocks and he asks, "Have you opened up the door to Jesus?" Quit you like men, to act manly, to be as our Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women of the word, our inner man full of faith, putting off the old man, put on the new, put away childish things, bring forth treasure from his heart with sanctified speech, and in wise doing, the teachings of Jesus, living holy lives. And lastly, be strong, growing and increasing, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You have a testimony of the Lord's work in your life this week. Don't give me a testimony from 20 years ago. Give me a testimony of the Lord working in your heart this week. Yes, we have failure. Yes, we have discouragement. But get up. Keep going. and take the higher ground. This man is strengthened and tries to strengthen others. So, again, let us say our scripture memory one last time. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let us stand and pray. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the encouragement and for the great love with which you have loved us. Hallelujah. We praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came and that he lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross, and that his blood, which flowed out for us to cleanse us from our sins, to reconcile us back to you, dear Father, is effectual. It is mighty to save. And thank you for your free gift. Thank you that we do not need to purchase it, and that by faith, faith in that blood saves us and reconciles us to our God. Thank you, Father, for being our loving Heavenly Father. Thank you for providing a way that we come to you by faith through your grace. And what more can we say of a loving Saviour who loved us when we were unlovable, when we were dirty, and yet you reached down and rescued us from the muck and the filth of this world. Father, may we live forth lives that are pleasing to you. May we walk in holiness and true sanctification by your Holy Spirit. Please bless us as we go forth today, and let us grow more and more in your grace. We ask in Jesus' name. You may be dismissed.